Let's start with a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, be with this humble servant. Help me to brag on you, Father. Help us as Emmanuel Baptist Church to be eager to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you guys realize what a gift this homegrown music is up here? That was good. That was really good. Especially David, I appreciate David this morning. You know, with the 80 degree highs that we're going to have today, he busted out the Hawaiian shirt. Makes me feel a lot more comfortable up here, David. I appreciate that. Pam and I like to travel. Woo, man, do we like to travel. And last week we were in California at Hume Lake. And I understand we have some folks from California back here visiting today. And so they've been to Hume Lake as well. It's a great conference center up there. And we had a great time. They had 5 feet of snow 2 days before we got there. So we felt like we fit right in as Minnesota folks up in the mountains of Hume Lake. And traveling's great. I enjoy traveling. I have to say, though, the most satisfying traveling is mission-oriented traveling. And since the topic is missions today, if you think about some of the travels you've been on, if they're all self-centered and satisfying and relaxation and nothing but going and putting your feet up and relaxing, at the end of the trip, somehow that feels a little bit empty and a lot selfish, right? And I've been on those trips, and there's a time for those trips too. But certainly, the most satisfying travel is when it's mission-oriented, where you go with a purpose and you go with a plan, and that is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to other folks. And so, I'm going to talk about missions today, and I hope that you'll play along. I have to change it up a little bit, though, because certainly Mrs. Mandelko stole my thunder. I mean, I was going to hand out little cute little globe balls to all of you, but I don't have to do that now. And Sandy, nice job with the kids. But I do like that we have a command in the Bible, and that's to go. And missions certainly, as one of the building blocks of our faith, missions is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a, if you want to, you can do that. So you have a choice when you read a verse like Matthew 28. You have a choice. You can either put the earplugs in and decide not to listen to the Word of God, or you can go ahead and get off your rump and go. Yeah, but what if I don't have the money to go halfway around the world and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, the Word says go. And we're going to see other verses that talk about going first to your own town, and then to the state, and then to other states, and then around the world. So follow along with me, if you will, as we look at some of these definitions and verses. First of all, I started with Webster because I thought that would be a cool thing to start with. What's the definition of mission? Well, it goes back to the Latin word missio. Missio means go. And that's about as deep as my Latin and Greek go, so you won't hear any more of that stuff. But mission, it's an adjective. I didn't put that up there because it really doesn't relate to missions. But an adjective, mission oak, for example. When you have mission oak on an auction, it's the old 19th century oak furniture that has real simple lines. Mission can also be a verb, and it means to send or entrust with a mission. And then finally, a noun is a ministry commissioned by a religious organization to propagate its faith or humanitarian effort. So that's where we get the idea of mission trips. Going on a mission trip means that we're commissioned to go out and spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes those mission trips are purely humanitarian efforts. Right now, the Firefighters for Christ are out in Japan. And I got an email from them. Their boots are on the ground. As of Friday, they're in Japan, and they all have little mini radiacs to see how much radiation that they can handle as they work those areas over there. But it's interesting. I didn't realize Japan has half of 1% that would call themselves Christians. Half of 1% of the population calls themselves Christians. And that's not a big number. That's a mighty small number. So there's a dozen guys from Firefighters for Christ that are over there right now. And their mission is working in a three-story building. This is the one church that they could find that has a kitchen in it. The second floor is a kitchen. The main floor is being used as a feeding unit. And so they're preparing meals on the second floor and feeding those meals out of the first floor. And a lot of those meals come from the United States. And even right from here in Minnesota, Feed My Starving Children, we'll hear about that in a minute. But it's exciting to see folks that are willing to go to the farthest reaches of the earth and to do not only a humanitarian effort feeding people, but to show them the love of Jesus Christ while they're feeding them. I also heard of well efforts. Yesterday, a guy was telling me about the well efforts that are going out into Africa and areas of the world where they don't have anything but rainwater to drink or river water to drink. And we know how unsanitary river water can be, especially if that river water is part of the sewer system. And so to go and put a well in Jesus' name has a tremendous impact on those people. That's a humanitarian effort. It's also a mission effort, propagating your faith. They show the Jesus video while they're putting those wells in. So that's a good thing. Rochester Fire Department. I got to put a little plug in there for the RFD, since that's who pays me. We have a mission statement as well. The mission of the RFD is to work within the community to provide the highest level of protection for life, property, and economic stability. That's our mission statement. And during tough economic times, we have to ask ourselves at every staff meeting, is that request for use, is that mission critical? And we cut everything out, all the fluff gets cut out of the budget if it's not mission critical. If it doesn't meet our mission as a fire department, then we have to get rid of that, cut it out, and don't spend that money because it's not mission critical. And folks, we're in a battle zone right now. We are in a war, a spiritual battle, as Ephesians 6 tells us, to put on the whole armor of God. We are fighting against principalities and rulers of darkness. There's a lot of evil out in the world, even today, even more so today than it's ever been in my lifetime. For example, this morning in China, the Christians that were meeting in an illegal church were gathered up and brought to a school. 200 of them were gathered up by the government this morning. It was on Fox News. And, you know, we have the privilege of coming here and sitting in our comfortable pews and enjoying good music and good worship time together as Christians. And those folks around the world aren't that fortunate. You think of all the churches in the Muslim world that have to meet incognito so that they're not gathered up and beheaded by the Muslims. You think about the Chinese churches. Three times as many Christians meet in the illegal churches as they do in the state sanctioned churches. And they're persecuted even this morning, gathered up. They put them all on buses and took them to a school to hold them there until they can decide what to do with them. So pray for the Chinese church. The Southern Baptist Convention has a mission statement. I took this right off the website. As a convention of churches, our missional vision is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person in the world and to make disciples of all the nations. That's a good mission statement to have, isn't it? Certainly it fits. The Southern Baptist would be the umbrella organization over the top of this church and several other churches. And there's quite a reputation that the Southern Baptists have. We went on a mission trip back a few years, and we went to an orphanage down in Brazil and adopted our daughter Tamaris at that orphanage. And everywhere we went on tour, not only in that town but in other towns, everywhere we went, when they found out we were from a Southern Baptist church, oh, they bragged about what a reputation that the Southern Baptists have in Brazil. One, they always pay their bills, and two, they're not from some of the corruption that they see in other missionary groups. And so, good work, Southern Baptists. You keep focused on your vision, and the vision is clear that we are there for a reason, and that's to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's a good vision. The results of that vision statement from the Southern Baptists, the North American Mission Board states that last year, 5,081 missionaries were sent out in North America, and they planted 1,700 new churches in North America. They had 415 baptisms in North America. Those are good numbers. Internationally, the Mission Board declares that last year they had 5,400 missionaries sent, over 500,000 people baptized. Those are good numbers too. Internationally, Southern Baptists are doing a good job of getting the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ out. I also found it interesting when you look at some of the other denominations, the Christian Missionary Alliance, They have 200,000 people in the CMA, Christian Missionary Alliance, but yet they send out 40% more missionaries than the United Methodist with their 9.5 million members. So different denominations are much more mission-focused in their goals. And here at EBC, we have a vision. Our mission statement is, the vision is to glorify God by making and equipping disciples to know, love, and serve Him. That's a good mission statement to have, too. This one covers not only your neighbor, but it also covers the city and the county and the state and the Midwest and the United States and the North America and the world. And just like the kids were eager to point at the map and eager to get to the next one, even before Sandy asked for the next one, they were eager to point out the next one. We should be just as eager to get the word out to all people groups and all nations. John Piper speaks on missions, and he's got a neat video out there on YouTube. And he makes a pretty bold statement. He said there are only three kinds of Christians when it comes to missions. There are zealous goers, zealous senders, and disobedient. So which one are you? Are you a zealous goer? Or are you a zealous sender? By giving Annie Armstrong money in the plate this morning, 100% of that goes to sending people so you can be a zealous sender. Or are you simply disobedient? Are you one of those that just wants to put your earplugs in and let those people go to hell? We don't want that to happen. So let's take a look at that video from John Piper, if we could, please. That's a lot. I don't have some nifty illustration to show you 2.6, but I'm sure if we stacked them up, if each one of those people was represented by a penny, this room wouldn't be big enough to hold 2.6 billion pennies. One thing in missions, you can go with confidence. In Mark chapter 10, verse 27, and Jesus, looking upon them, said, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Do you remember the story in Mark about the rich young ruler that tracked Jesus down? And he said, "Hey, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus explained to him, "Well, you know, you got to love your neighbor and you got to do all." "Well, I've done the commandments. I've done all that." "Well, one more thing. You need to sell everything you have and give it to the poor." Wow. He was devastated by that news, and he went away, and he was very distressed by what he heard from Jesus. And the disciples then had a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus said, "You know, it's tough for those rich people to get to heaven. It's easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle," which is an impossible thing to do, for man to get a camel through the eye of the needle. But then Jesus said, "With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible." So is it possible with God to get a rich man to heaven? I say yes. Is it possible for God to get a Muslim to heaven? I say yes. If we reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with God, all things are possible. So we need to tell them about the gospel. So you can go with confidence, knowing that the God that you represent is faithful, that the God that you represent will give you the confidence, and His Holy Spirit indwells you. In Acts chapter 1, another great verse about missions, "But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Notice in this verse, he started with the hometown, Jerusalem. So if you're called to missions, you need to be called to missions first in Jerusalem, in your own hometown. So we could translate this to say that you need the Holy Spirit, and you need to be bold in your witness. First in Rochester, and then in Minnesota, and then in all of the United States, even unto the uttermost parts of the world. But start in your own house. Start with your own neighbor and show Jesus to those folks. Acts 26, 16 through 18 also says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and for those things which will appear unto you, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I have sent thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from their darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and the inheritance among them which are sacrificed by faith that are in me. Anybody know what this is right here? You might not be able to see it from way back there. But Jason, come up here and take a good look at this and tell me what this is created for, would you?
Or a socket wrench.
All right.
Loosen and tighten.
Loosen and tighten. And is this made for a wide variety of things? I mean, could I put this on a...
For a specific nut.
Okay. I can put this on my ratchet wrench and put it on a specific size bolt, and I can spin it out with this, right?
Yep.
So this has a purpose. This tool was designed for a purpose. Thank you, Jason. You did a great job. I find out in Acts 26 that I have a purpose and that God has made me to be a witness, first in my hometown and then in all of North America, but also to the ends of the earth. This socket wrench is created for a specific purpose. And when we read in the Bible that we were created for this purpose, we need to come to that satisfying knowledge of knowing that we were created for a purpose and God's going to use us for that purpose. That should give you confidence, too, when you're sharing the gospel with other people, that you were created for this purpose. In Romans chapter 1, we see another good missions verse. Paul says, I'm a debtor, both to the Gentiles and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is within me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are here in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and then also to the Gentile. So here's Paul standing before the Sanhedrin, the holy men, and he's being put on trial. And he's not ashamed of the gospel. Neither should we be ashamed of the gospel. You know, you have that opportunity at work to be a missionary, and you shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. God has created you to be that witness. Go ahead and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ to your friends. And more importantly, show them the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life. Now, different preachers over the last several weeks have declared how their building block is the most important. And certainly with missions, I have to say missions is really hollow without evangelism. Missions would be shallow without worship. And so if we're just going to shine somebody's shoes, or if we're just going to enjoy the beautiful scenery, we're missing the point of missions. Missions has to be about declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 13, 1 through 9 and 19 through 23. Everybody remembers the parable of the sower and the seed. If you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. The first 9 verses talk about the sower and the seed, Matthew chapter 13. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, he fell among the path. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, and because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell along the thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants. Still other seed fell in good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And if we skip down to verse 19, he describes the parable. First of all, verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is the seed that's along the path, and the one who receives the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell in the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So when you're on a mission trip, be eager to sow seed. I grew up on a farm, and when my dad first bought the farm, we didn't have a lot of money for equipment. So we bought a broadcast spreader for broadcasting seed. And the whole idea of a whirligig broadcast spreader is it's just a pouch, a bag, with a little spinny thing on the bottom. And you put all the seed in the bag. Some of you are shaking your head. You've probably done this before too. And you walk around the field broadcasting the seed, similar to what you should do on a mission trip. Now, this isn't a broadcast spreader, but when you go on a mission trip, you should just go ahead and broadcast seed out into the field when you go, and you should be able to get the word out there. Now, some's going to land on hard soil, and some is going to go clear to the back of the church, but when you're broadcasting that seed out there, you need to get the word out to as many people as you can. Understanding not everybody is going to have good soil in their heart. Some of them are going to have a hard, calloused heart that you're just not going to be able to get through to them. And I used to get discouraged when I would witness to somebody and they just wouldn't believe. It's like, what am I doing wrong with my presentation? And then my father-in-law, God bless him, Ray Logan, he was my pastor growing up, he explained to me that it's the Holy Spirit's work to convert that heart to Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit's work to prepare the soil of his heart to receive the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing you can say, no matter how polished your presentation, nothing you can say can change his heart unless the Holy Spirit prepares the soil of his heart for the seed of the word. Anybody that just got a treat when I spread the good news of the gospel, stand up. If you received a treat, I want you to stand up. How did I miss the front row? How about that? All right, so I spread some good news out there. I spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you received chocolate, have a seat. Sorry, your soil wasn't quite right. For those of you that received a lifesaver, your soil was right. You had the good soil, and you received the life-saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, when I look at how the Christians are dispersed in the room here, I see Christians over here, and I see some Christians over here, but Tim's kind of on his own. He's way back there. Tim received a lifesaver, and he stands by himself. One thing you can do on mission trips is to go to Tim and encourage him. You can go to that faraway land to show encouragement to other believers. And that's what they did in Thailand. They went and encouraged another church in Thailand from this church to another church. So, Tim, we won't gather around you and encourage you right now, but you might be seated. Thanks for playing along with my illustration. And I'm proud of you teenagers for not knocking everybody down to get more chocolate. That was good. How about some examples? Thailand. Seth, you were on that Thailand trip. No, your dad was. But they went specifically to encourage the church over there in Thailand. Give us some other examples of mission trips that some of you all might have been on. Raise your hand if you've ever been on a mission trip. Oh, I got lots of people to pick on. Tom Hayden, I did not see you raise your hand. Tell me how you use your bus as a ministry, as a mission. I don't care if you're a bus driver. I don't care if you're the chief of police. I don't care if you're a garbage hauler. If you do it in the name of Jesus, he's going to use you as a mission. When you leave these doors, you are entering the mission field. It might not say welcome to China over the top of the door, but it's saying welcome to the mission field. Betty Lynn, I saw your hand go up. Tell me where you went. So thank you for that. How about missions locally? Is there something that you can do locally that impacts the world? John, tell me something about missions locally that you've done in the last few days that impacts the world.
So the Board of Great Deeds went to an organization in Minneapolis called Feed My Starving Children. Has anybody else done that?
Ben? Good work. So there's a way you can impact the world. John's son, Matt, was the MC of the night, the lead volunteer, and he explained to us that this food is going to be used by a Christian organization in Haiti to distribute the food and to distribute the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't call on the Wurtsumas this morning, but they're fresh back from Guyana, and they showed the Jesus film down there. Steve told me last night it was interesting. They had a blackout in the area where they were showing the Jesus film, and they just fired up the little generator that the church had and fired up the Jesus movie, 2.5 hours of Jesus movie that's in their native tongue. And not only did the church enjoy the movie, but the neighborhood all heard the commotion. And since there's nothing else to do when the power's out, they all came. So he said it was a tremendous turnout and a great experience. They also got to paint some of the walls of the church before they left. And so that's good mission work. I saw some more hands up here in the center section right here. Who else has been on a mission trip? Mr. B, tell me about your mission trip. Things that was interesting about Katrina and New Orleans, and Pam and I went to New Orleans one time, and we just decided if we never come back, I mean, this place is, they call Las Vegas Sin City. I thought New Orleans was much worse as a sin city, and it seems so close to the gospel. And yet when we went back, as Firefighters for Christ went back in that area and built some homes for folks that couldn't afford homes, we noticed that they were much more open to the gospel. Because as you drive along the shore of the Gulf of Mexico, all these devastated areas, it's not the government, it's not the atheists, builders for atheists or anything like that, it's the cross. The Amish were there, the Mennonites were there, the Methodists were there, the Baptists were there. All these different Christian denominations were there. Underneath the cross, they were building and they were feeding. And what a tremendous opportunity to share the love of Christ in a humanitarian way and also meet the needs of others. Bob, I saw your hand go up back there. What mission trip did you go on? Building a church outside of Eau Claire, but tell them about the worship experience that we had at Jacob's Well. Nails, you're painting walls, you're not exchanging with people, but that was the frosting on the cake for that mission trip. After sweating hard for days, all of those on the mission got to see five people baptized right there in a portable swimming pool in the sanctuary even before the sheetrock was hung. So it was a tremendous experience. And I'm sure behind every one of the hands that went up, there's a supernatural story, an experience where God used you to deliver hope to people that are searching, and hope from people that are longing to know the love of Jesus Christ. You see, inside of every man, we are created with a God-shaped void. And that God-shaped void, some people try to fill it with alcohol and it just doesn't fit. Some people try to fill that God-shaped void with drugs or sex or money, and it just doesn't satisfy. God created us with a God-shaped void, every one of us, that can only be filled with Jesus Christ. It's the perfect fit. When you find the Son of God and the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, and put Him into your heart, ask Him to come into your heart, it's the perfect fit. It's so satisfying. And that's what missions is all about, is to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always and unto the end of the world. Amen. That's some confidence-building scripture right there. And we all need to have that confidence as we go and proclaim the gospel outside of these doors. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to brag on you. Thank you, Lord, for all those folks that have been eager to go from this church and from this body. I praise you, Lord, for the senders from this congregation. Many people have put money in the Annie Armstrong envelopes to directly go to send missionaries around the world. Father, help us not to be disobedient, but help us to be eager to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, now for this time where we can gather together and worship you, and we pray for the Christians of China at this very moment who are being persecuted for their faith. I pray that they'll do church like they've never done it before, even while held captive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Holy Spirit, come, move in power.